All right, so we are in a Leviticus Bible study, and today we plan to do about six chapters, but it is basically the offerings that are mentioned to us. We covered the burnt offering. There were six sacrifices that Jews were required to offer to God. Last time when we met, we looked at the burnt offering. Along with the burnt offering, they were used to do a meal offering. There is also a drink offering, which is not mentioned in the book of Leviticus, but it is in the Numbers chapter 15. That was one of the sacrifices that they were required to do. What the meal offering speaks to us is about a total dedication to God, total dedication to God. And then we have the peace offering, as well as a sin offering and a trespass offering. So all of these things that we have in the next about five to six chapters talks to us about our Christian faith, right? Because one of the things that I spoke to you is about Jesus in Leviticus. And so when we look at this when we look at all these sacrifices, it literally speaks to us about our walk with Christ, what it should be once we accept Christ and once we come to know him, what it should be. And each one of us, each one of these will show us what our walk should be. When we go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 8, and because of the time restraint, I'm not going to read it. But if you go to Hebrews and chapter 10, verses 5 to 8 mentions all of these sacrifices, and it speaks to us about Jesus satisfying all of these sacrifices. As we saw when we were in the first chapter, when we looked at the burnt offerings, we know the shedding of the blood of for an animal could not change a person's heart, right? Or it did not bring the complete forgiveness, okay, complete forgiveness that we were seeking, but it was required by God for the nation. And yes, although we know that the blood of the bulls and goats does not take away the sin, here in Leviticus it does say that it gave it it for a time being, it gave them a forgiveness. Okay, and what I'll give you is verses Leviticus chapter 4, verse 20, verse 26, verse 31, verse 35, then chapter 5, verse 10, 13, 16, 18, chapter 6, verse 7, all of these verses will tell you that the sins of the worshiper, or the ones who were bringing the sacrifice, were forgiven, okay? But what does God require? What does God require? And for that, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And we're going to cover both 22 and 23, but I'm just going to read the 22 for now. Okay, so Samuel said, Has the Lord great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay? So yes, when we look at all these different things and different sacrifices, it talks to us about, it talks to us and it points us to Jesus. But ultimately, if you just do them as a ritual, then they are meaningless. Okay? So the second sacrifice that we have in front of us, and we read the whole chapter 2. Obviously, when we are doing as many chapters as we are doing, I'm not planning to read all the verses. I just want to show you, right? But the whole idea is to show you how Jesus appears in the Leviticus and how we can apply the book of Leviticus to our own life, right? So very first verse that we read in chapter 2, it says, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, His offering shall be of a fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. Okay? Again, I want to draw your attention to the word when, just like I drew your attention when we were in chapter 1. This was not required. It was not commanded. It was a volunteer act. Okay? This is something you had to do willingly. As we saw chapter 1, this is all about doing things willingly from your heart. It's not that God requires or God commands you, right? That's where that's when it becomes a religion. Now you are following a religion when you have to. It's not that you have to, we got get to. And that's where we want to be in our Christian walk as well. Anytime you start to feel that you have to do this, and yeah, there is that feeling, right? You should feel a little bit uneasy, a little bit unsettled when you haven't spent time with God in prayer. Right, but that's not what I'm talking about. That you have to pray. When you feel like if you don't pray, or if you don't go to the Bible, or if you don't get your whatever 2 or 3 chapters that you have to read, God is somehow going to be mad. That's religion, right? That's how all the pagan religions operate. If I don't do this, my God or my goddesses is going to be mad, and they are going to pour out their wrath or their anger on me. That's not our God. Right, we get to, you don't have to. Okay, that's a very important concept to understand in our Christian walk, that we get to. Right, we don't read Bible because we have to. It's pleasure for us to spend time in the Word of God. You know, we don't worship and we don't sing and pray because we have to, because we find peace and joy. Right, we are we come to this place where we calm down. That's why we do it. If you ever have a feeling that you have to do it, that's a problem, and you have to check yourself. Okay, so very first thing that I want you to notice over here, as I said, when anyone offers, but now we read the chapter, and I don't know if you caught it. Burnt offering and all the other offerings that are coming. This offering is different. What is missing? Did anybody notice what is missing in here?
Blood.
Yes. Right? There is no blood. Right? So this offering speaks to us about Jesus's ministry on the earth. Right? While he walked on the earth, he came across sin. It probably grieved him. But the grain offering, there is no blood, because in that service, there is no redemption, right? Without blood, you cannot be forgiven. But this speaks to us about Jesus's ministry, okay? And he speaks to us about our own walk, okay? Look at the ingredients. And when you look at this, it talks to us about flour, okay? Some is just mixed together. Sometimes it talks to us about oil being poured in. Sometimes the oil is mixed in. Sometimes the oil is just there, right? Oil in the scripture represents what? Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit, right? What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is with us. Holy Spirit is in us. And Holy Spirit is upon us, right? And that's what we have here in Jesus, okay? We have a flower. What does the gospel tell us? That Jesus is the bread of life. When we get into Gospel of John chapter 12, Jesus says, I am a
living bread,
but it also says, I am a wheat, right?
Yeah.
The wheat flour is made out of wheat. And what happens to wheat to make a flour? It has to be crushed.
Right.
Right? Over here, he speaks to us about a frankincense. Frankincense is the way it is made. It either has to be burned or it has to be crushed. Okay? And the frankincense here talks to us about our prayer. Okay? I don't know if I actually have the verse. Psalm 141 verse 2 talks to us about, it says, let my prayer be set before you as an incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Okay? Now, this is the heart posture we are talking about. It's not just a ritual sacrifice, right? Over here, a fine flour, pour oil on it, and put frankincense on it. Right? The bread of life. We have a Holy Spirit. When we get into Romans chapter 8, it says, right, the both are present there because Jesus is interceding for us. And then it says the Holy Spirit interprets our groans because we don't even know how to pray. Okay? So you in this grain offering, you see that it talks to us about all of these things. Okay? The main thing about the grain, or in some of your translation, it might say it's a meal offering. Okay, obviously it's a picture of Christ, the bread of life, but it is about dedication and gratitude. Okay, dedication and gratitude, because very few of us, dedicate ourselves completely to God. Very few of us do that, okay? There are very few people who are wholly committed and dedicated to God. But that is what is required of us, okay? And one thing, it says over here, and if I don't know if you caught it when you read this, this is a one offering that had to be placed on the top of the burnt offering. You see the significance of it. Burnt offering, which speaks of Jesus' perfect sacrifice to us, right? Completely consumed. When you participate in a burnt offering, that's the only way you can dedicate yourself to Christ. So this, it says it over here, I think it's in verse 13 or so. I'm not going to take you there, but you can read it for yourself. It literally had to be burnt on the top of the burnt offering, okay? When I talk about being completely committed, right? How many people do you think spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes with God in a day? Perhaps you do, but most of the people in the world, right? There are a lot of people who are sitting in the church. They don't have time for God. The only time they spend with God is on a Sunday while they are in a service. Right, and as somebody has said, a week without Jesus makes you very weak. And if our philosophy is, I get all my spiritual food on a Sunday, or when I attend a Friday night Bible study, then we are really mistaken. We need to spend daily time with God. Right, there are very few people. Okay, there are very few people who take time out of their day to focus on God, to read the Word of God, to pray, speak to God. Very few people who do that. The only time we come to God is when we have a necessity. You know, suddenly we have a bad diagnosis. Suddenly we have some trouble in our marriage or our family or our life or whatever. When we are in need, that's when we try to seek out God. And then we are back to normal doing what we need to do. So this sacrifice here speaks to us about our dedication and our heart of gratitude. When God has given us so much, and you know, we can all reflect, we can all look back and see what God has done in our life, right? We are all at a different stages in our life, but most of us here, at least sitting here, have lived a good amount of life. And we have seen the hand of God in our life, right? When he has done this, how can we not take just a few minutes to thank him out of our day, right? Every day that we are alive, every day we are breathing, we should be looking up and say, thank you.
Right.
Thank you, right? Thank you for what we have. We are able to breathe, the food that we eat. And those are simple necessities, but just the peace that we have, we should be very, very thankful to God. Okay? So this grain offering should definitely be something that we need to learn, and we need to learn from it. Okay? There are two questions, actually. I wrote it down, okay? And this is for self-examinations. This is to reflect on our own walk, right? It says, just how dedicated and committed are we to God? How devoted are we to God? And we can all self-examine and answer that question, how devoted am I to God? Okay. And the second thing I wrote down here is that how often and how much time do we spend daily in thanking God and praying to God? How much time do we spend? Right? I mean, I don't have to tell you, you know, if the church goes 5 minutes wrong, we are upset. Right? If the worship leader sings one song extra, we are upset. Right? Because our focus is on the worship leader. Our focus is on the pastor rather than, hey, my focus should be on God. I'm worshiping him. I'm in the church, not for the pastor, not to meet others and socialize. I shouldn't be thinking about the coffee and the food that's downstairs. I should be focused on God. I'm here for God, right? And when we change that, attitude, a lot of things change in our life, right? As I said, the grain of...
That is worship God with spirit and truth.
Truth, yes.
And the two things, right?
Yes, of course, yeah. And that's what Jesus said to the woman, right? That you are now, you worship,
yeah.
Right? Because all her focus was on the place. It was on the temple. That we cannot go to the temple to worship. Our father said to worship here.
Right.
And he says, no, you worship God in truth and spirit. And I think that's something that we need to understand. You know, that's something we need wherever we are. It shouldn't take us too long to thank God, worship him, right? You can just think about how many traffic lights you hit while you are driving. For those of us who drive, you know how much traffic that we sit on. Just think about that you offered a prayer every time you are at a traffic light. Just think of somebody and offer a prayer. How many prayers would you be offering? There is no excuse for saying, I have no time to pray for people. There is plenty of time to pray for people. All you have to do is just find that time. It's, you know, sometimes we have this notion that I can only pray if I'm in church. You know, I'm just sitting quietly and then you can pray for anybody at any time, right? There's nowhere in the Bible it says you got to close your eyes to pray. You can pray with open eyes. God will hear that prayer as well. Okay. I remind you the prayer of, I remind you the prayer of Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 2. And I don't know how we got on here. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 4. While he's serving the king the wine, there is nothing said, but he says he prayed. You know, it can just be a silent thought in your mind. God hears that prayer. And it is so important for us to know this, right? Burnt offering, as I told you, the grain offering was actually laid upon the burnt offering. The burnt offering, it was a daily sacrifice, okay, that the people, people bought that sacrifice every morning and every evening. What the burnt offering did is make what? You guys, anybody remember from our last one? What was the burnt offering for? It was for atonement, covering of the sin, right? It paid the ransom. It reconciled us to God. Now we can come into the presence of God because of that burnt offering. But right, but by laying the grain offering upon the top of the sacrifice, you are actually giving thanks to God for what he has done. And this is something, you know, and I'm going to move on to the next sacrifice. I have more to say, but you know, this is one thing we need to remember. If we have truly a relationship with Jesus, if we understand what he has done for us, how we have achieved the atonement, the forgiveness of our sin, redemption, what he has saved us from, it's impossible not to have a heart of gratitude, right? Anytime you focus on Jesus and what he has done for us, anytime you think about the cross and how he suffered, how can you not have a sense of gratitude? Right? You can't be that preoccupied that you don't notice. And that is not just something that you should think about in passing. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. It's not about that. Right? It's not just for Passion Week. Right? It's not just for Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Then we get all sad and all of those things. It should be every day. 24/7, 365, you should have this thought in back of your mind. Hey, this is the price Jesus paid for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, And so if you lack in this, and I know all of us do, I am as guilty as anybody sitting here or anybody listening. We just need to reflect on this and correct, and move forward. Right now, there are three purposes or reasons for grain offering. Right, as I have mentioned, the grain offering was an act of joy and thanksgiving to God. And for what? As we have been talking about it for the last few minutes, for everything you can think of in your life, for everything. Note that a person was to take some fine flour, pour oil on it, and put incense upon it. The oil was a symbol of anointing the grain, just like the Holy Spirit is a symbol of, that we are anointed. It means that you are setting that apart. And what does that bring us to? The word holy. The holiness is the theme of the book of Leviticus. And this set us apart, made it holy. Remember, not all of it was to be burned. Burnt offering was completely burned. Okay? The grain offering, only the portion, as we read, only the portion was burned. The rest was consumed by the priest, the high priest, and the family. Okay, and verse 13 or 14 also tells you. And I'm sorry, not in chapter 3, but in chapter 6, verse 24 or 25 tells you that it was only to be consumed by a male in the family, because they were set apart for the service of God. Okay. Couple of things that we read, I don't know if you noticed or not. One of the things that it says, it would be unleavened, right? There should be no leaven. When Jesus came in the Gospels, we read, he specifically told people, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, meaning the false teaching. Okay, their false, burdensome teaching. So the leaven is compared to a false teaching, right? Leaven in the scripture speaks to us about a sinful leaven. Right, so this were to be unleavened bread, right? Now think about that. When Jesus told the people, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, right? I talk to you guys often, and especially as we are going through the book of Timothy, about the false teaching. We need to be very careful. This is a warning that Jesus gave us about leaven. So we cannot just poo-poo it and say, it's okay. At least he has a Bible in his hand when I see him on the TV. Or it's okay, it says Reverend Doctor in front of their name. So I'm going to, we need to be very careful where we stand, who we go and support, who we listen to. Be careful, because what does it say? Why did Jesus say, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees? He says a little leaven, right? Little leaven, just a drop, just a little bit of a false teaching. It spoils the whole thing. So you need to be very careful. That's why I tell you guys all the time, as you listen to me, you need to check me and say, hey, is there a leaven in here or not? Right? Now, there is, no matter who teaches, okay, sometimes I can misspeak. Somebody can misrepresent. Maybe we have a problem in understanding, okay? That's a different story, because then you can come to me and say, hey, AJ, you said this, but doesn't make sense biblically. And if we are all on, if we fall under the authority of the word, and if I have genuinely made a mistake, I can say, yeah, you were right. I'm going to correct that mistake, right? Or I'm sorry or not. But if we go to a person who's misrepresenting the word of God, and they are not open for correction, and they don't take the authority of the word, that's a leaven. You have to be very, very careful, because they are just trying to represent the scripture in a way that suits whatever doctrine or belief system they have, right? Because you can do that. You can make up your mind that this is what I want to represent, and then you can find the verses from the Bible to support it, but we must have a full counsel of the word, right? Full counsel of the word. And so it is so important for us to understand this. So it says, let there be no leaven. And the other thing it says is honey. I don't know if you guys caught that or not. It says, let there be no honey mixed into this flour, right? Because the honey represents a natural sweetness, okay? And also, honey has a fermenting quality to it. So if you put flour into honey, it will ferment like the yeast, okay? So that's why it specifically, it talks to us about not adding honey to it. Up ahead, and I totally lost that verse. But at one point, it talks to us about to make sure that there is a salt. Can somebody see that that verse? Why can I see that?
Verse 13, chapter 2:13.
Chapter 2:13. I keep saying verse. Okay, and every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offering, you shall offer salt. Okay? Think about that, right? So let's pull a couple of verses. I don't have those verses. I was planning to do it when I get here. Numbers chapter 18, verse 19. Can somebody read that? And somebody else can pull 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5. If we can read those two verses. Number chapter 18, verse 19. Look, those are the only two places it talks to us about a salt covenant.
Numbers chapter 18, verse 19.
Yes.
All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you. And your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you.
Forever, right? With your descendants. You have the other one?
Which one?
2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5.
Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?
Covenant of salt, right? So by those two verses and what we have here, what is a salt covenant? It's a permanent, everlasting covenant. Forever. This is God has made this covenant. Right? And so that's another thing that the grain offering is saying to us, okay? This life of gratitude, this life of dedication is not for a period of time. It is an ongoing covenant till the end. Till the end, right? Unbroken salt covenant. What does salt speak of? Now, when you look at salt and you look at it in a big picture, salt is a preservative, right? It preserves food. Yeah. From the oldest, as far as you can go back, people use salt to preserve food, okay? Salt is a heavy, salt is a commodity, right? It's a commodity that was traded. Sometimes you were paid by salt. You know, when they did trade, instead of money, they would give salt, okay? All of us who are from India, we know the march of salt and why, right? Because the salt was being taxed. It's a necessity, right? It's a necessity in a person's life. What does Paul tell us in Colossians? Let your speech be seasoned with salt, right? In the gospel, what does Jesus say? You are the salt of the world, salt and light of the world,
yeah.
Right? And that all of this speaks to us about what our Christian walk should be like, right? Because we are to be in the society as salt because, all of us like salt in our food, right?
Yeah.
We all like it at a different degree, but if without the salt, the food just doesn't taste right.
Exactly.
Right? So we are to preserve in the society. We are to add, right? Nobody can see salt in the food, right? But if it's missing, you know it's missing. And that should be, it should be like us, right? And when we are missing, people should notice that, okay, this is missing, right?
Yeah.
But one of the most important things I'm going to tell you about salt, okay, is what happens when you eat salty food. Let's say if you have fish, or when you eat salty food, what happens to you?
It detests you.
Something happens. You get thirsty.
Yes.
Right? After you eat very salty food, you suddenly get thirsty. And that's the one of the most important thing that we need to remember about us. If we are to be salt of the light, we are to create a thirst in the people for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? If you are the salt, by your life, by your walk, how you talk, how you act, right? How you interact with other people. If you are a salt of the, if you are the salt that the scripture says, you are creating a thirst in other people to know your Jesus, right? You are creating a thirst to know the scripture, the word. And that's, this salt covenant is very important, okay? Salt covenant is very important. And so as it says over here, your all grain offering, with all your offering, you shall offer salt. This is very specific stuff. It talks to us about, and at the very end, okay, if you offer a grain offering of your first fruit to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruit, green heads of grain roasted on the fire, great grain beaten from full heads. Again, that's crush, right? Our Savior was beaten, okay? But look at what it says in the last verse, okay? And I want to say one more thing about this. It says, then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and part of its oil with the frankincense as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Okay. This was also, as we read the chapter, right, the person had three choices to prepare. They could mix it, they can bake it, right? It could be cooked on the pen. But one of the main thing that the grain offering did is provide for the priest. Right? They ate this food, whatever was brought to them. Right? Because when God gave inheritance to the tribes, did the Levites have any inheritance? No, they did not. Right? They did not receive. When we go into Joshua chapter 14 and 15, where God, divides the land to the tribe, okay, there was no inheritance for the Levites, right? God said to them, I am your portion. They have no inheritance. They have cities where they can go because they were going to be serving all the tribes. So they have a place, a little land in each of the tribes' inheritance. Because Levites weren't just to stay. They had to go and minister to the community. Every place, wherever they were living, they were supposed to educate them, lead them in worship, right? Guide them and so forth. So they had no inheritance. So the way Aaron and the other Levites supported themselves was by whatever was given to them through these sacrifices. Later on, as we see the peace offering, we are going to see the meat was provided to them, right? Everything that was brought to the temple for the sacrifice was shared by the priest. This is how they made their living, right? And that's why this is an important thing for us to remember. Paul tells us in the New Testament, don't muzzle the ox, right? Those who are in ministry, those who have dedicated their life to God. And I understand the concept about there are pastors, there are men out there are ministries out there who take advantage of the people, okay? And their whole goal is to get rich, right? But generally speaking, the man of God who works for God should be provided by the people that he is leading. This is a concept in the scripture. As I said, Paul said, don't muzzle the ox. They have a right. We have to provide for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when we especially sit in the church administration and we are making all these decisions, right? Sometimes we need to think about it, you know, when we are trying to decide a pastor's salary, where when we are trying to decide pastor's compensation, however it is, right? How about if you were on the other side of the table and they were talking about provide? How differently would we look at things? That how should that pastor be blessed, right? So that we need, and this is biblical. This is not unbiblical. You know, I can take you to the number of places how we are to provide for the man of God. Those who have dedicated their life. And Paul is very clear about it. If you read the New Testament, okay, because how else? And again, I understand there are men out there, okay, who take advantage of such things, okay, who are only in the ministry to get rich, right? I mean, there is no place where where you say, hey, I need a second plane so I can do ministry. You have to be, you have to use your discerning power, right? But there are men who are working faithfully, and they are. They have very little. They have very little, okay? And yet, they trust God to provide for them. You know, I think some of you guys have met one of my friends from India. He's, he looks over. He's a very young. He's younger than me. He looks over about 400 churches, okay? All in the villages. None of the pastors get a single cent in a salary. How they are paid is by the congregation because they're all farmers, right, in the villages. How they get paid is they get the grain, they get whatever vegetables. That's how they sustain. They have no other means of income. He himself and his position is of a bishop. He does not get a single rupee in salary from the church. God sustains him. And you should hear the miracles that are taking place. You should see how the lives are changing, right? When I hear some of the things that take place in these churches, we are dead. Our pressing decision is, hey, which day are we going to have our Thanksgiving celebration, and who's going to bring what? And even in that, we are fighting. Even in that, we are, hey, why does he get to do this, or why does? Or our pressing thing is, hey, when are we going to decorate for the Christmas? Or what are we going to have for food for Christmas? These are the pressing need. When did we sit in our churches and talk about how we are going to further the gospel? How we are going to reach out those who are lost? How are we going to give them the news of Jesus? What he has done for us? When are we going to do that? Is that even a part of plan as we come upon Thanksgiving, as we come upon a Christmas? What is the plan? You know, and if you happen to be at the church where these things are not talked about, that's a leaven that you need to worry about. You know, that's something that we need to think about. But you know what? In interest of time, I'm just going to stop there. All right. This different ways to cook is important as well. Okay, because sometimes you just need to be in a fellowship with God. Okay, so that's why it says you don't even have to cook it; just come in the presence of God. All right. Sometimes, you know, all of us have been at that place where we just need to be in the presence of God. Come as you are. Right? We don't have to do this whole preparation, but then there's time where you are reflecting, and you have time where you want to bake up, you want to bake, you want to cook, you want to make the best that you can for God. And that's what you that's what you do when you bring something that is, you know, in a pan or roasted, baked. So that's what it talks to us about. Second, God gave a choice in preparing the grain offering because he wants the very best a person can offer. He is the Lord God, the great creator, sustainer of the universe. He is the creator, and we should bring our best to him. Amen? Let's go to chapter 3 in a few minutes that we have. So chapter 3 and chapter 7 and verses 11 to 38 are parallel. Chapter 3 talks to us about a peace offering. Chapter 7, 11 to 38 talks to us about how we should bring that offering. Okay, so look what he says. When his, again, I want you to notice the word when. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Do you notice something different from the burnt offering and the peace offering? Right? Burnt offering was bring only male. Here it says male or female. Okay, because again, this is an offering that is only partially going to be burned, not a completely burned on the altar. It'll be partially burned. There's a portion of the meat is going to go to the priest. And this is another thing about this offering. This is offering where a person who brings the offering also gets to participate in consuming it. They will also take it back home and feed themselves with it. Okay, enjoy into a celebration. What does that sound like? It's a communion with God, right? It's communion with God. That is what is happening over here. Even if you look at Leviticus, I think it's chapter 22, verse 23. This animal could have a little bit of a blemish in certain cases when it's bought for a certain. There are three reasons that are given here why you bring a peace offering. One of those, there could be a blemish. Because remember, all they were going to do is they were going to consume it, the priest and the family, right? It was not wholly set apart for God. So that's important. It's a fellowship offering. It could be bought as a female. The third thing that I want to mention to you, okay, and I jot it down because of that. The fellowship is the only offering that was shared with the worshiper, okay? After the priest had completed the sacrifice, a large portion of the meat went to him. The rest went to the offer who could then enjoy your feast with his family and friends. Thus, this offering symbolizes a joyful thanksgiving and that a worshiper was at peace with God. Now, fast forward to our New Testament, fast forward to communion, right? Now, think about why the communion is so important for us, okay? Because where does that lead us? It leads us to the cross, right? When we take the communion, what are we doing? We are remembering what Jesus has done for us, right? That in Him, we have redemption. In Him, we have forgiveness of sins. If you don't remember, and there are people, okay, or if you have not accepted Christ, you cannot, right? You cannot take communion. Well, you can take the communion, but it's meaningless. Matter of fact, that's what Paul talks to us about in the book of Corinthians, that when you come to the table, you are bringing judgment to yourself. Because if you have not accepted Christ and now you are at a communion table, you are literally saying, all right, confessing that, okay, Jesus died for me. Okay, He shed His blood for me, but I'm not accepting Him as my Savior. Because by taking communion, you are remembering that He gave His life on the cross. But what you are saying is not for me because you are not accepting Christ. Right? So you are bringing a judgment to yourself. But those of us who have accepted Christ, and when we partake in that communion, it should give us this feeling of joyful thanksgiving. That's where we started out with the grain offering, right? That the peace offering should give us that, okay? Basic point is, right, what I'm trying to say is, when we have the forgiveness of sin, right, it should prompt us to take part in the peace offering, the communion. You see what I'm saying? It's when you have Jesus, it should prompt you to take part into that communion with God, communion with God's people, the fellowship. Right? That's why it's so important for us to be in the church. A couple of verses that I want to give you in regards to this, and I'm going to stop the Bible study here as I'm against the clock over here. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 says this, and by him, meaning by Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made, what? Peace through the blood of Jesus. Right? He is our peace. Romans chapter 5, 1, one of my favorite portions of scriptures, especially the very first five verses, right? It says, therefore, because of what he spoke to us in the chapter 4 about Abraham, that he was not saved through works, right? He was saved through the faith. It was not by his own power. It was by the God. That wonderful chapter 4, he talks to us. And next verse in chapter 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the priest's offering talking about. Okay, the psalmist, look what the psalmist says, okay? Psalm 116 verse 17 says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. When you have taken participation in this communion, right? A sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praise from pure heart that are grateful for his mercies. These are things. One more verse that I will give you is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Okay? This is what these two sacrifices talk to us about all the time. One verse that I do want to draw your attention to is Leviticus chapter 3, verse 9. Look what it says over there. It says, then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the priest's offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails. Okay? And very 16 verses says, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as a food and offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generation. In all your dwelling, you shall eat neither fat nor blood. Right? This is the restriction that is given to us here, that you shall not eat either fat or blood. Now, blood, we know it talks to us about life. Right, the blood is right. What is the thing about fat? What is fat in the animal? We just looked at all these things, right? I read about how to cut off the fat and to burn it all and all of those things. Fat is the best, right? There was no cholesterol, okay? Fat is the best part of the animal. That was the most precious part of the animal at that time, okay? And what this simply means is God requires our best, okay? And this is what we are going to close the Bible study with, okay? God does not want your spare time, okay? God does not want something that is left over. There are things that belong to God, okay? If maybe somebody can pull this up. Is it the second, 1 Samuel... chapter 15, if you can find it, it's good. It talks to us about Phineas and what's his Hophni and Phineas. Okay, if they specifically offering the peace offering, they said, no, give us the fat. Okay, and those are the two guys who were killed later on. But they wanted something that belonged to God. They wanted to keep for themselves. Here, there is a specific instruction given to us here. You shall eat neither fat nor blood.
Belongs to God.
It belongs to God. Okay? And so as we close this Bible study, I want to ask a question to you. What is it that you are keeping to yourself? What belongs to God? What is it that in our life that we have still not yet surrendered to God? God is asking for your best. Right? Don't try to fit God into your life.
Right?
He is the fat. He needs your fat. Okay? He needs he needs what is most precious to you. And all we do all the time is we give him what we can, not what he requires. And this is not to tell you that God is demanding. That is not the point of this. This is the point of this is obedience. Point of this is obedience. That do you trust God? When we talk about this first fruit, do you trust God to provide for you what you need? Right? All of these sacrifices, right? All of these sacrifices. And I wasn't going to read that that verse, but I'm going to take you back to where did it go? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, right? Again, I will read 22. It says, "So Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in a burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed them for fat of rams. For rebellion as the sin of the witchcraft, the stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being a king."
That is disobedience.
Disobedience. When you reject God, okay? When you reject the peace offering that is made for us, right? As I read to you in Romans chapter 5, that through faith we are justified. And now we have peace with the Lord. When you choose to reject that peace offering, the only peace offering, the only mediator between us and the Lord, then you will be rejected as well from the kingdom.
Right.
You will be rejected from the kingdom as well. Obedience is what God requires. Obedience is a must. And so if the God says to you, "The fat belongs to me," are you being obedient on that matter? And that fat could mean different things for each one of us. Okay, for some of us, it might be time. Some of us, it could be family. Some of us, it could be finances. Okay, what is it that takes priority in your life? And this is a question that each one of us must answer. Each one of us must answer. Am I giving God what he requires? Or am I giving God what is left over? Am I bringing a sacrifice that is without blemish? Or am I bringing God something that I don't want? Right? You know, there was a little story that a farmer had two cows, okay? And one of them was sick. Okay, and he was praying, and he says to God, "God, you know this cow, one belongs to you and one belongs to me. Can you heal this cow?" And no matter how much he prayed, nothing happened. The cow died. So then he went pray and he said, "Hey, God, I hate to tell you this, but your cow died. Mine is still alive." Right? Is that the attitude that we have? You know, we keeping things from God. You know, if you want to see a true blessing in your life, offer God what is best. And I promise you that he's a faithful God.
Amen.
He will provide. And for those of you who have not participated in this peace offering offered to you by Christ on the cross, let today be the day of your salvation. Oh, Father, we come to you, Lord, and as we read these sacrifices, Lord, and as some of these things are foreign to us, Lord, this is... through your sacrifice, that one sacrifice, we are made whole, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you for that, Lord, for that perfect Lamb of God. Lord, our priest offering, our grain offering, Lord, our burnt offering, Lord, our sin offering. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that, Lord. But Lord, as we read this, as we study this, Lord, speaks to each and every one of us, Lord. If there are things that needs to be corrected in our own life, Lord, if we have developed a heart of bitterness, Lord, I pray that you replace that with a heart of thankfulness and gratitude, Lord.
Yes.
Put the joy that can only come from you, Lord. Lord, as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, Lord, as we get ready to go into the Christmas season, Lord. Lord, help us to reflect and look at what you have done for us, Lord. You came to this world that we may have life and a life abundant, Lord. Help us to reflect on that, Lord, and let our works, let our walk, Lord, reflect the Savior that we confess, Lord. Let our words and our conversation always be seasoned with salt, Lord. So I submit each and every person here into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.